So sometimes our lack of charity in any given situation can cause unneeded harm. And I remember a particular day in gym class when I was in second grade at my Catholic school outside of D.C. We were playing dodgeball, back when people actually played dodgeball. I don't think you're allowed to play dodgeball anymore. But anyway, we were playing dodgeball in the gym, and a ball landed near me. And so I quickly picked it up, and I looked at, you know, who I could throw it at, right? And that's the point of dodgeball, of course, is to, well, dodge the ball. So if you get hit, you're out. And I saw my best friend across the gym, and I had a brilliant idea. Being in second grade with so much knowledge, I thought it'd not only be funny to get someone out, but to trip him with the ball as well. So I aimed the ball at his feet and threw it. Now, he was running at the time toward me, and the ball hit the ground right by his feet, causing him to trip over the ball. And it was like watching like The Matrix, slow motion. I watched him fall to the ground, and he landed right on his right arm, and I heard a snap. He ended up breaking his arm. And I was the one who had to walk him to the nurse's office in order for his parents to come and pick him up. Talk about a guilt trip. You see, instead of desiring what was best for him at the time, my lack of charity as a second grader caused a greater consequence. Now, today's gospel reading brings us to the end of a series of debates in St. Mark's gospel with the Jewish leaders and our Lord. The Jewish scribes at this time were debating about the hierarchy of all the precepts in the law of Moses. Now, you might not be aware, but there were 613 individual laws, 248 commands, and 365 prohibitions. So, naturally, it's a good question. Which was the most important? Well, our Lord responds to the scribe today with the fundamentals not only for the Jewish people, but for his disciples as well. When he tells the scribe that the Lord must be loved above all else, he's repeating the first words of the Jewish profession of faith, the Shema, which we heard in the first reading today, and that was prayed by every Jewish person each day. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But Christ then changes it up and adds a second commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, what this means is that God himself tells us that we are created to love God by loving others, and to love others by loving God. Now, it's interesting that Christ was asked for one commandment, but he gave us two, to show that the two are inseparable. Our Lord made clear that love of God always comes first. And from our love of God, love of neighbor should flow. Now, I think it's also interesting that the word commandment is used. It reminds us that we might not always feel love for God or for others, but we're obliged to do it anyway if we're going to fulfill our highest potential as a human being and if we're going to please God. How we were created. This is also where I think we find one of the biggest misconceptions about love in our world today. We equate love with feelings way too much. Right? All too often, we think love means having nice, warm, friendly, or romantic feelings towards someone. And it's true, of course, love is emotion, but that kind of emotional love is not the kind of love Christ is talking about. Right? It's much more. Or we think that to love someone means to support them in whatever they are doing, even if it's harmful or sinful for them, no matter what. But that's not what love is at all. Warm feelings don't always feed the hungry or help a person on the road to heaven. Love is not primarily something vague, fuzzy, warm, or superficial. Love is a matter of what one does rather than what one feels. It's an act of the will. To truly love someone is to desire what is best for the other person. This command to love our neighbor is so closely linked to the command to love God himself that if we ignore our brother, we will soon ignore our Lord as well. If we lack charity toward our brother, we will lose contact with God and our immortal soul. Now, this sounds all grand, but I think as we all know here, one of the biggest problems is that love, when it's authentic love, requires unselfishness and sacrifice. And that's not always easy, especially when it's required of us over long periods of time. It's one thing to do it for a day or a week, but over the course of your life. Our fallen human nature inclines us to be self-centered creatures. This is another reason why love cannot be simply based on feelings, but is something we must grow into by learning to reach out to others. You know, some of the hardest people to love are not those who we see from time to time at Christmas or Thanksgiving, or we see briefly, but those who we interact with every day. The hardest people to love can often be those in our own homes, our families. As every married couple here knows, I'm sure, the honeymoon stage of marriage is great. But then, that tends to fade. And true love must then flourish, because the emotional feeling of love comes and it goes. Yet just because a spouse does not feel love toward the other on a given day does not mean he or she has an excuse to be a jerk or to not desire the spouse's best. To not self-sacrifice for them on a daily basis, even when you don't want to. We do not have license to treat our family members with disrespect simply because we're related to them or live under the same roof. And this concept applies to our friends as well. We must desire what is best for them, heaven. You know, by being charitable toward them, we're expressing love for God and his commandments. And this can be easy when we're getting along with our friends or our spouse or family. But when we're tired, or if they've hurt us in some way over time, it can be very difficult to desire what is best for them. In fact, we may want to hurt them emotionally, or we do not want them to succeed in their endeavors. But that's not love. That's selfishness. When someone is rude to us, do we immediately try to snap back with a retort? Or do we still desire what is best for them? Heaven. Do we speak harshly about people behind their backs in order to tear them down, especially our family members, spouse, friends, professors? Can we readily help someone who has hurt us deeply? Can we welcome and be charitable to inconvenient people? Is sarcasm a norm for us? Are we quick to criticize when we see someone who annoys us? Is it easier for us to dismiss another annoying person or to patiently try to enjoy that person when he is being difficult? Do we still desire what is best for those who hold different political views than us? Do we pray for them? Do we condemn them immediately in our mind and degrade them in our speech, especially those who hold adamantly opposing views? Now, Christ ultimately showed us what true love toward God and neighbor looks like. He was obedient to his heavenly Father on the cross, and he died for those whom he loved. On the cross, he asked forgiveness for those who were murdering him. Loving God and loving our neighbor means death to self. It means putting others first. We cannot love God properly if we lack charity and mercy toward others. Christ loved us to the end. He was willing to bear insults for false claims against himself in order that we may have life and have it abundantly. To be a true witness of God and others, we must be known by our love. St. John of the Cross once wrote, "In the evening of life, we will be judged on love alone." All our actions must be geared toward loving God, but we cannot love God if we do not love our neighbor. Both the Old and the New Testament explicitly affirm that without love of neighbor, made concrete in keeping the commandments, genuine love for God is not possible. Our Lord said in St. John's Gospel, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." Just as my actions toward my best friend while playing dodgeball had unfortunate consequences because they were not based in charity, so too our actions that are not grounded in authentic charity can have unfortunate consequences. They can lead us away from the peace that we desire and lead us away ultimately from eternal life. And so on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, we should ask ourselves, do we strive to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul? And if so, how do we treat those who are the hardest to deal with in our day-to-day lives? Amen.